Hi, and welcome to Baby Bliss Pregnancy Podcast. I'm your host, Lizette. I'm a mom, nurse, and educator, and I'm here to break down the need to know and the want to know about pregnancy, childbirth, and postpartum.
As a disclaimer, I am not here to give medical advice. This is for educational purposes only. I encourage you to follow the advice of your physician or provider for any medical decisions related to pregnancy, birth, and postpartum.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Baby Bliss Pregnancy Podcast. I hope you guys are doing well and enjoying some fun time with family on the weekend. I wanted to start off today. We are going to talk about the heart health during pregnancy, but I feel like I have a PSA for all moms or moms-to-be. So I think this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a service to help you when you're purchasing major items in your life, like cars or furniture. I was thinking about this when I was talking with a mom whose children are now teenagers and they're older, and she purchased a new car and she was just loving the new car smell and it stays clean. And we were talking about it. And it's so crazy how as moms, we all know about the Cheerio lake that ends up in your car seats and the fine dust that goldfish can become in the floor when they're smashed really hard, when they are starting to climb into the car seat themselves, which is what my toddler's doing. She's two, and we're doing everything on our own and no mama. But I was also thinking about how when we want to purchase a new couch, so our family, we'd like to purchase a new couch. And we found a new couch 5 months ago, guys, 5 months ago, but we have not purchased it. And we have been in Nebraska Furniture Mart, I don't know how many times, sat on the couch, scraped at it to see if it scratched easily, and it doesn't. We saw there was a pin mark, so we thought, okay, we could get a blanket if we ever purchase this. We still can't bring ourselves to purchase the actual sofa because we have a toddler and a puppy. And I don't know how mom influencers always have stark white furniture. Like, what is that? When you get your new kit to be a momfluencer, are you purposely sent the whitest furniture and carpet? Everything's in neutrals. And all I can think about is blue crayon or juice or spaghetti hands. I don't know what they're doing to keep their kids off of things. I don't know if when they're not showing what's going on in their lives or taking pictures, their kids have like a gate around all the furniture. I'm not really sure. So this is what I think would be a helpful service. Okay, here you go. I'm going to create films like you see paper-sized films that you can see through, that already have added toys and junk on them, on the picture, for you to hold up as you look at your furniture to be. So if you're shopping for furniture and you're walking down the aisle and you see this couch or this media table and you think, oh my gosh, it's so pretty, I'm going to make you something you can hold up on your phone to see what the furniture, not what it looks like in your home. I mean, that's helpful, but to see what your furniture looks like with children, right? Wouldn't that be more helpful to see if you actually still like it with Legos on it? Or mine currently has a massive Mr. Potato Head on it. For your car, this is another part of the service. For your car, when you're purchasing a car, I suggest there be a mom kit. And that means when you buy your car, if you're expecting a baby or a small child, it comes pre-prepped with baby wipes and a space for a sippy cup. So a sippy cup has to fit someplace, and it comes with pre-crushed goldfish and Cheerios. This way, when it starts to happen, you don't feel guilty about it or sad because it came that way. And I also think that everyone that works for the car company should work directly with parents. So if you are in development, please reach out. I'm willing to help you. Parents of small children to find out where crevices are. Where do they stick things? And I don't just mean my minivan. I'm not against minivans. I'm an SUV girl, but everyone drives their own thing. But I feel like minivan people have got it set, but I'm not a minivan person. I have my SUV and I like her, but she's got crevices that it's amazing what my child can stick in there. Okay, so sorry, those are the random thoughts of Lizette today, but I'm telling you, as a mom of three, the youngest being a toddler, in all of our toddler glory, I think I'm going to start a service to help you envision things how they are. Okay, so down to business, very important topic, heart health. February is Heart Health Month. And heart disease, specifically coronary artery disease, is the leading cause of death of women in the United States. So when you're a first-time mom-to-be, you're already kind of navigating the journey of motherhood, understanding the impact of pregnancy on your heart is really crucial. Now, I do not want to scare you with today's talk. I never want to scare you. I want to provide you with information. But I get some people want to know all the things, right? And some people want to know enough to get by, but don't want to know the big and the bad and the scary. But I think what's important is when I was doing my research and I was looking up everything, all of the organizations, you know, the nonprofits, the things that I found that are really pushing for this idea of understanding heart health and heart health awareness were often started by somebody that was directly impacted by heart health or lost somebody to it. And it's kind of like health insurance, right? Like you have it for just in cases. Like just in cases you need it. Of course, it's Murphy's Law that if you have it, you're fine. But just in case you have it for the unexpected. So we're first going to talk about just understanding heart health during pregnancy. And then we're specifically going to kind of talk about cardiomyopathy and other cardiac diseases and the risk factors. And then how to recognize symptoms and warning signs and what you can do to improve your heart health. So let's kind of dive in with understanding heart health during pregnancy. So to begin with, it's really an eye-opening statistic, honestly, about heart health during pregnancy, that approximately 1 in 4 deaths related to pregnancy are due to cardiovascular disease. I know that's crazy, right? Cardiac disease is the leading cause of maternal morbidity and mortality. So pregnancy, again, remember, if you are a person that does not like hearing bad things, this is not the episode for you. I love you, but say hi, comment, but maybe go to something else. But this is for everybody else that wants to be aware, and I think it is important. Pregnancy strains your heart, or it can, especially if you have pre-existing conditions or risk factors. So not only that if a woman has high blood pressure, say, during pregnancy, she is twice the risk of developing heart disease later in her life when compared to women without high blood pressure. So I want to educate you, and we don't want to just put our heads in the sand, but actually pay attention to some serious issues that affect women, especially those that are pregnant. So cardiomyopathy is a condition. It's characterized by kind of a big range of problems with the heart muscle. And it can develop during pregnancy or anywhere up to a year postpartum. So it's important to know that this disease can affect women of all ages, all races. So everyone can potentially be impacted by it. Cardiomyopathy occurs when that otherwise normal working muscle thickens or stiffens, thins or doesn't fill or fills with things not belonging in the heart. So these problems with the heart muscle, so think of the heart as the pump of the body. It means that the blood isn't pumped well to the system. And it can lead to irregular heartbeats, backup of blood where it's not supposed to be, and heart failure. And I know a lot of times when we think heart failure, we think elderly or we think our older relatives, but cardiomyopathy often goes undiagnosed. So peripartum cardiomyopathy awareness week in Texas, at least, where I'm recording this, is May 10th through 17th. But I wanted to do this heart health info in February because that's heart health awareness month. That's the red month, right? It's understandable that a lot of women may not know what to look for, but I wanted to give you kind of a list of symptoms. And I want to be really frank with you. Some of these symptoms are going to be hard to pinpoint as a change for heart disease because some of them sound like pregnancy related or, you know, the baby's growing or even a little postpartum. But I want you to pay attention to them. So symptoms, they can include a nagging cough, heavy chest pains, shortness of breath, swelling of feet and ankles. Now, I know once you give birth and you're on the postpartum floor recovering after the first couple of days, you will have swelling in your extremities related to the fluids you received during birth. But pay attention to this and it should go down. That should go down. And if it doesn't, or gets worse or comes back, that's important. Also, increase urination at night, which again happens after birth, but should resolve and shouldn't last weeks and months past birth. Excessive fatigue, rapid heartbeat and palpitations. And just so you guys know, again, excessive fatigue, increased urination, and palpitations are all symptoms that people state they have during pregnancy. So you still want to take note of them. You still want to talk to your provider if you're having them. And if you don't feel like you're being heard, make sure to be loud, right? And say, look, I am having this and I don't feel okay. Is there something going on? Listen to your gut. Listen to your intuition. So additionally, other cardiac diseases such as congenital heart defects or arrhythmias can also pose increased risk during pregnancy. So really being aware of these conditions, talking with your healthcare provider is really crucial for having a safe and healthy pregnancy. So understanding some of the peripartum cardiomyopathy specific risk factors are older maternal age of 30 or older. And I know 30 is not old. Understand, very clearly felt here. Ladies, I had my last baby at 41. African American, a family history of heart disease, high blood pressure or preeclampsia or eclampsia, a heart murmur, COVID-19, fertility treatments, hyperemesis gravidarum, and multiple births. So now let's talk about how to, you know, recognizing those symptoms and what the warning signs are. So as expectant mothers, it's really essential that you're vigilant about what's going on with your body and take note, especially when it comes to your heart health. During pregnancy, symptoms like chest pain, difficulty breathing, rapid heartbeat, or real excessive fatigue should not be ignored. These are signs of a serious cardiac issue, and you really do need immediate medical attention. Similarly, during the postpartum period, severe headaches, visual changes like blurred vision, spots in front of your eyes, tunneling of your vision, severe swelling, difficulty breathing, all of those you need to see somebody immediately and get that addressed. So women that have given birth, there was an article out of Australia that I read, and the info will be in the show notes for you if you want to read it. And the article's titled Cardiac Disease in Pregnancy and the First Year Postpartum, A Story of Mental Health, Identity and Connection. It was written by Jane Hutchins, Jane Frawley, and Elizabeth A. Sullivan, and can be found in the BMC Pregnancy and Childbirth Journal. So they interviewed 25 women of different ages who had various cardiac diagnoses during pregnancy or postpartum. And they just asked them simply kind of tell me about your experience. And women experienced shock and anger and anxiety and some post-traumatic stress disorder. The fear and the anxiety was really in response to that heart or that cardiac event and the deterioration. One woman talked about Googling her condition, which really exacerbated her fears. She said it just, her fears went through the roof. And they felt like they were emotionally and mentally kind of on autopilot due to their anxiety. And sadly, they felt isolated or alone after their cardiac event or birthing experience. So I think we as women and myself and others as healthcare providers can do better to develop communities for women and resources for mental health support in general, but also specific to having a cardiac diagnosis or event. And I think even communities of women that have gone through similar experiences help someone to really talk to somebody that can empathize truly with what you've been through. The women in the study found that they had to make time for themselves and their mental health. Like it was almost like scheduling an appointment. It was so important for them to do. They also started to question and looked at their own habits or things that they were trying to identify as triggers or associations that caused the heart event or the cardiac disease. Some women delayed calling for help, even mid heart attack, because they were thinking that they were not worthy or someone else needs that help more. And the women in the interview really stressed that all of us as women are worthy of being taken care of and seeking healthcare and receiving good care. And I am totally, I mean, I just read myself into this interview because I know that if I need help or if something's happening, I often think of myself as mom, right? And the family last, like somebody else needs this more, or it's not that bad, or, you know, we can power through. And we really need to stress that we are worthy of it. We deserve to be taken care of, looked after, and it's okay. It was really stressful for women who were diagnosed during pregnancy for any cardiac issues because they were then considered high risk. Which, speaking as someone that I was considered high risk for something outside of your control, it isn't a great feeling. It makes you question a lot, worry a lot more than usual, I think. But however, speaking as a healthcare provider, as a nurse, I can tell you there is a distinction in low risk and high risk, and it does change the level of care and how your birth experience will go and postpartum, how often you'll be seen, and resources. So sometimes that high risk designation is more beneficial because you get looked at by more eyes, right? Or more people are paying attention. So the insight from these women during the interviews was the really big takeaways from the moms that were diagnosed: find a support group. Sometimes there are ones specific to a cardiac condition you have, maybe face-to-face or online, so you can find one local or maybe even not local if you are from an area that doesn't have a lot of this. Women who attended the support groups found they learned more about their own diagnosis and management to help them when talking with their doctors or providers. And I think that's huge, sharing that information and having that tribe of women that understand and support each other. So some of these examples that I found were the peripartum cardiomyopathy online support group out of the UK. Let's Talk PPCM. This was founded by Brianna Henderson, who survived a misdiagnosis during her pregnancy. And her sister passed away from a cardiac event weeks after having her baby. So she's raising awareness and providing support. Both of those examples I'll put links to in the show notes so that you can find those. So through the study, it became really apparent you aren't going to return to normal to your pre-cardiac diagnosis self, but you need to recover and focus on discovery and stability of who you are now in this new role, in this new journey in life. So to end it, we're going to talk about some tips for improving heart health. There are some practical things that you can do. First and foremost, attend all of your prenatal appointments. And I want you to communicate openly with your healthcare provider about any concerns or symptoms you have. And I will say that during pregnancy, you will find that you're missing information or forgetting things, and it's very common. So write stuff down. Take a note in your phone on a date and time and what you were experiencing. Take note of your questions. And when you go to that appointment, that way you don't. I have absolutely walked out of an appointment and gone, I literally didn't ask a single question I had. So I really encourage you to write things down that you're experiencing. Sometimes you'll find that it's related to pregnancy and expected, and other times it's more serious. So there is no reason not to address it or bring it to the provider, just to get comfort to know that it's okay or not. And if your provider has a portal, message them or call them. If you're concerned, don't get brushed off. You know, if you need, get a second opinion or change providers. Additionally, prioritize a healthy lifestyle. You hear that a million times in our lives, don't we? Eat a balanced diet, engage in regular exercise with your doctor's approval. So even walking, and this can be exhausting on its own, so take it easy, but get your body moving for 30 minutes a day or 150 minutes a week. Just spread it out. Break it up. Maybe walk around the office if you work away from home for 10 to 15 minutes and do this around the time of a meal. And then it doesn't have to be continuous 30 minutes. So think about breaking it up. Find ways to manage stress, which I know we all kind of laugh at, right? But find ways, meditation, adult coloring books, music, relaxation, massage, swimming, or exercise. I made a meditation episode that's only 7 minutes and 30 seconds, and I can make a shorter one. But if you like it, let me know. Let me know if you want more, then I can do those. I think just relaxing and focusing on your breathing really can calm your body and calm your mind and get enough sleep, which I know, again, is difficult. But forcing ourselves to have that earlier bedtime and making sure that we're giving ourselves downtime and a routine before bed will help. Remember to stay hydrated, avoid smoking or alcohol. And lastly, know your family history if you can of heart disease and take proactive steps to manage what are those underlying risk factors. Okay, ladies, that wraps up another episode today, specifically on heart health during pregnancy. Remember, knowledge is power, especially when it comes to protecting the health of you and your baby. And if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, I say us. Guys, I mean me. If you want me to research something and write the episode and produce the episode and edit it, I am so happy to do so. Just so you know, it's just me. So sometimes you'll hear extra noises or it sounds a little different. That's just me. Sorry, I'm working on it. Feel free to reach out. Big ask, please take a minute and write a 5-star review on your favorite listening platform. Email me at babybliss.com podcast@gmail.com. And find us on Facebook and Instagram. Share about Baby Bliss with your friends, family, and providers. And no, not the Baby Bliss hair care items, but the podcast. So thank you so much for joining me. And until next time, take care of yourselves, mamas.